So let's build our first app. Scott, do you trust me?
I do trust you. All right, okay. So I've installed the .NET Core SDK. I just downloaded this, and I went through the installer.
So you've done this, so it's one of those things of like, we did it in the past.
Well, how do I know it worked?
Okay, so go over to your command line.
Okay.
And type .NET dash version. Oh, you already did it. Okay,
cool. So I just typed .NET by itself.
So it actually shows that it exists. Otherwise, okay. You would have got some error.
That's a good point. And actually, I could type where .NET, and it'll tell me not only that it exists.
Where it is.
But where it is on the disk, and you see it's in program files.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's make sure that you're using the right version.
All
right.
So
we're in 2.0, so .NET dash version.
Okay.
Okay.
And I got 2.02. You'll get 2.0 dot something.
Yeah.
And this is a patch version. It's like a...
Like some minor changes have happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But 2.0 is what matters.
Okay.
Okay. So I've done that. What else can I do?
So so people are comfortable, let's do a .NET help, because it's always good for people to know that there's a place that they can go and see what's happening. So if you type .NET help, let's just see what happens.
Right. So I can type .NET dash dash help, and any of these commands have help. Like there's help throughout the whole thing.
Everything. So it tells you if you wanted to do something new, restore packages, run them. This is a good rundown of everything you need to know that you can use with the .NET command.
Now, a lot of this might not be familiar. Some of it might be confusing. But we're going to focus kind of on the basics. And I think that making stuff and running stuff and building stuff is probably where we'll start for
That's where we'll be right now.
For this module.
That's where we'll be right now.
Okay.
One of the cool things, especially with .NET 2.0, is the number of templates that have come out of the box in the command line.
Okay, what is a template?
So a template is, I think of it as a starting ground, something that gives you a form or a structure that helps you write your code eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who are out there and you've used PowerPoint, and PowerPoint has different templates that gives you styles and guidelines, think about this as your PowerPoint for your code.
Okay, so I've got console apps and web apps and test apps and all different flavors.
Different kinds of apps, which we will actually have a look at. So should we go and see what kind of apps they give us?
All right, let's do it.
So let's have a look at .NET new. That's what I always type.
.NET new?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I get a nice table. And actually, some stuff scrolled by. So these are options for .NET new. And it's worth pointing out that we've got help again, which is actually help for new. And this is a little an interesting thing to point out very briefly. When I type .NET dash dash help, I get top level help. When I type .NET new dash dash help, I get help for new.
That is actually the first time I've done this all the time, but I've never noticed
that. Isn't that great? Well, what's also interesting is if I type .NET new something, I can get the help for that template.
Could you run that and we could see?
So this is the console application template.
Okay.
And here's help options specifically for the console. And why this is useful is that let's say that I go and get a third-party template. I get a template from somewhere else. That template might have a lot of complicated options and switches of its own. So .NET dash dash help is top level. .NET new dash dash help is help for new. And then if I put dash dash help for a specific template name, I'm going to get the help for that. Which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
All right.
I literally found that out during this recording.
See, and I'm going to learn from you, and you're going to learn from me. We're going to have a great time.
Okay.
So I just went back to what you told me to do. I said .NET new.
Okay.
I see a list of templates, and I'll see a list of short names.
Names. And you also see a different languages as well that are supported.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And in this case, C# is in brackets. That's indicating that it is the default. But we can also do F#, which is a great functional language, or VB, which is a good language for beginners to try out. Okay. All right. So let's make one. You want to make a folder then?
Yes. So let's make a folder.
My console app. All right. So I have an empty folder here.
Exactly. And because we're going to build a console app, .NET new console.
.NET new console. And a console app is one that just kind of in text mode here.
Exactly.
All right.
So let's have a look at what happened when you type .NET new console over there.
So it says the template was created.
Successfully.
And then it ran .NET restore for me. So in the past, after I typed .NET new, I used to have to say restore. What is it restoring?
So it's restoring some of the packages, which we'll have a look at, what comes in there.
And where the packages are those libraries, those dependencies, the things that it needs.
To actually be a console app.
And then it generated a file, and it told me that it took a certain number of milliseconds. So We got a program.cs, mm-hmm. and we got a CS proj or a C# project.
And the C# project, is that's where all our packages are?
That's where our references to those packages are. So if, let's go and just look at that. I'm just going to say type and output that, because it's a very small file.
It's really small.
Mm-hmm. It says that it's using the .NET SDK, the software development kit. It's an executable, and it's a .NET 2 app. And it doesn't have any dependencies beyond the basics. It does have some dependencies for outputting to the console and things like that, but for the most part, it includes the .NET SDK, and we have no additional references.
Okay.
Okay. So how do I do something with this? Like, what does it actually do?
Let's run it. Okay.
Here's the code. Hello world. Pretty straightforward. So do a quick run. Sure. Is that okay?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Now there's a moment here. 1,000, 2,000, 3. You know what it was doing? Why did it take 3 seconds to say hello world?
This is the first time you're running the application.
It's got to build it.
Yeah.
Right? And but I've been doing this at the command line. We don't want to spend a lot of time at the command line.
No. So shall we look at it at code?
So we'll use Visual Studio Code. And it's worth pointing out, if I zoom in down here, that I've got both Visual Studio 2017, which is a Windows IDE, and I've got Visual Studio Code, which is a cross-platform IDE.
Text editor.
If you're on a Mac, it's a text editor. It's a code editor.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less stuff, but it's very lightweight, and it is cross-platform. So we'll use that. Now, I'm going to type code
dot,
and dot is the current folder.
And it's actually built in now, right? Correct?
Yeah, I'll show you, actually. We'll go ahead and run that, and then there's a command inside of Visual Studio Code that adds it to the path. So it's something that you want to do after you've run code the first time. So we'll go ahead and run that. Okay, and Visual Studio Code opens that up. And then this is interesting. Visual Studio Code pops up a warning here. Hey, stuff I need to build this is missing. Do you want me to add them? And then it's got a yes and no over here. So watch on the left side here where it says bin and obj. I'm going to hit yes, but you're going to watch here on the left.
Oh, there it is.
See? So this is just some stuff that VS Code created for itself. It's not about C Sharp. It's just about VS Code. In order to be able to launch this app, these are just configuration files. So you don't need to worry about those, but that is something that you want to say yes to. Right?
So if someone's doing this for the first time, say yes, but don't touch?
Don't touch. Don't worry about it. Nothing you need to do in there. And then you had mentioned about the path. If you hit Control P, and I think it's Command P or fancy Macintosh button P on a Mac.
Command P,
Command P, is that what it's called? There's a bunch of actions. So that brings up this palette. I just think P for palette. And then if you say, what is this here? The greater than symbol?
Yeah.
I think it's called, is it add path? Where is it? There's a bunch of commands in here, and one of them adds code to the path. Maybe it's happening automatically now, but I did that once. You can see also here that there's other options like your color theme and, you know, the default shell and things like that.
Yeah, and the VS Code website has really good documentation about all the little bitty internals that are happening on the editor.
Yeah, it's incredibly easy to edit, to modify, to change the colors, the behavior. So yeah, feel free to explore. That's beyond the scope of what we're going to do. I'm just going to double click though on program.cs, and I'll zoom in a little bit. And we've got our application right here.
And I think it's always good for people to play around with the console.writelang. Like, put your name in it, run it again, remove the semicolon, and see what kind of errors you get. It's a really good way to get comfortable with the language.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can make a change, hit Control S. I could Alt Tab back over to here, type .NET run again.
Yeah.
It'll build. There's that pause. Then it runs, says, hello, Scott. Then I could Alt-Tab back over here. But that can get a little tedious.
Yeah. So is there something in Visual Studio Code that people can use now?
Mm-hmm. Remember when I was over here, one of the options was Terminal Select Default Shell.
Yeah.
I can hit Control, and I think it's called the tilde.
Yeah, that's you mean the squiggly thing?
The squiggly thing?
Yeah, it's a tilde. I always called it the squiggly thing until I started a documentation.
I think our Spanish friends would not call it that. But yes, it's the character that goes over the top of the Enye.
Yeah.
So you hit Control tilde, and you can, of course,
select your shell.
Select that your own way. You can pick your own shell. I'm using PowerShell in this case. Now I'm actually in a little command line prompt within Visual Studio Code itself. So now, rather than having to go and say, Alt-Tab, yep, and then do that, I can do it all from here. Okay, so there's my Hello Scott right there. Okay, that's one way to do it. But still, I'd like to do some interactive debugging. I'd like to do something a little bit more sophisticated than that, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to move the mouse over in the left here, and you see this red dot?
Yeah, that's a breakpoint.
Yep, I'm going to click on it, make a breakpoint right here. And then I'm going to go and click on the little bug.
Well, that's pretty intuitive, actually.
I think so, because there's going to be bugs. I know that for a fact. Now, this text right here, this .NET Core launch, the way that it knows to do that is because I said yes earlier.
To the launch.
If I didn't say yes, I would not be able to do that debugging.
Okay.
Okay. And Visual Studio Code can do other languages as well, like Node and Python and things like that. So that file will be different depending on what language you're using. All right, so I'll hit Start Debugging. And then it's going to go and build it. And it's thinking, and it's thinking. And there you go. So now we have stopped the application before we said hello world. We're just sitting right here. And I can hover over different variables. I can see if there's any local variables. Actually, we can do this real quick. Let's hit stop. We'll say var I equals Maria, var j equals 9. Hit debug again. See?
Yep.
And we've got debugging. You can look at our call stack. And, you know, it's a whole interactive experience.
It's pretty rich.
It is pretty rich. Given that it is a cross-platform code editor, it's pretty fantastic. And it's also worth pointing out the not just the squigglies that it's giving us. If we look here, there's some warnings. Like, is it saying, well, you used I, but you never did anything with it.
Yeah.
But also, sometimes you can get, what's the word? What is this here? What is that called?
The light bulb.
The light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go and say, I want to extract that method or remove that variable. Right? So you can do little refactorings. It's going and saying, well, really, this is used for nothing. There's no reason for that line to be there. And I can click on this, and it'll fix it. And in this case, it'll fix it by removing you entirely. Sorry.
That sounded rather intentional.
That was not the intent. All right. So Visual Studio Code will be what we'll use for a little while, and then we'll eventually graduate to Visual Studio proper,
yeah,
which has even more features. All right? So that gives you a sense of, oh, and actually, I'm sorry, we never talked about IntelliSense.
Yeah, so let's add a read line, because like one of the first things that you do is input and output, right?
Mm-hmm. So write line is our output.
Yep.
I'll start typing console, and you'll notice that it's...
console.
It's giving me IntelliSense.
Not only, it's also for beginners, it's great to see it also shows you what that means.
Yep, you're right? Getting like a little bit of documentation there. That's right. They will say console dot. See, this is nice. You said read line. See, and this is coming out of the docs here, and it'll tell you the things that could go wrong. Read line. Yeah, reads the next characters from the input stream. And then, yeah, notice the squiggly.
Yep.
Expected a semicolon. Go like that. Cool. And then I'll do this from the command line over here. I'll say .NET run 1002-1003. And now it's paused, right? Because it's waiting for me to read the line. Press
and
enter.
Did.
Okay. So you've got IntelliSense, you've got debugging, all of that, of course, being driven by this here. And just very briefly, because it's nice to see some of the internals, when we clicked here, remember that this text here, .NET Core launch, comes out of this config file right here. Right? The reason that I'm showing you that is it's important to know that there's no magic. We're not hiding anything from you, right? You might not necessarily ever want to change that, but it's nice to know that the thing that drives the debugger underneath is just a text file. And here, it's going to go and run our program. When we say .NET run, our program is really here, myconsoleapp.dll, and it's going to go and call that. And then if we want to go and attach to the debugger, there's also the ability to run the app, and then after the fact, attach to it, and then debug it once it's already running. All of that is possible with Visual Studio Code.
I think it's also worth showing the audience where to go and read more about what's happening with Visual Studio Code.
Mm-hmm. So Visual Studio Code is up at code.visualstudio.com. And there's a really rich marketplace as well for extensions. There's lots of stuff. So you can use Visual Studio for C# like we are, or Python, or C++, or Go, or a million different things. And their docs are really lovely. There's lots of different things you can learn about. You can change styles. You can change behavior. You can integrate it with your source control, like Git or VSTS.
You can create your own extensions as well.
Yep. There's a whole section here, exactly, on extension authoring.
I think my favorite extension would have to be the Slides extension. Have you seen that one?
Slides? I like the one with the funky icons. So this is this one here, like, gives you fun icons for all of your...
And I think they've moved some of those experiences into actual Visual Studio now.
Some of these extensions end up becoming a part of Visual Studio itself. So what's the one you like? Slides?
Yeah. So you can actually write your PowerPoint slides.
Where'd it go?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. The one I like is GitLens. GitLens. See, that's weird. Maybe their search isn't working today. It's actually GitLens with a space in between. So GitLens is a great one that lets you have annotations of who changed your code and when.
Oh, okay, so similar to how you can do it in Visual Studio, where you can actually look at everyone.
Like blame, if you want to see whose fault it was. So here you can see that it was Eric's fault 2 days ago, and he made a change from this to this.
Yeah, I've seen your name on a couple of those too. I'm kidding.
Yes.
I have not. The one I was talking about is Reveal. Reveal. So if anyone's heard of Reveal.js, it enables you to actually, you know, write, have a slide experience in the browser. So
yeah. So you've got the ability to edit Markdown and do all kinds of things.
Exactly.
So really can't recommend VS Code enough. But if you're just getting started like we are today, Visual Studio Code is going to be your best bet for your editing and your debugging experience.
Yes, it is.
All right. Take a short break and we'll be right back.